The Bible says that Jesus couldn't do many mighty works in his own hometown. Why? Why? They knew him, lack of faith. That's right. He said, because their lack of faith. Yes. Yes. Glory. You got your Bible, say amen. Amen, amen, amen. God is so awesome all the time. Get your Bible out. Put your finger there. Well, just go ahead and get your Bible out and turn to Psalm 109. Psalm 109. That's pretty simple to find. It's right before Psalm 110 and after Psalm 108. I mean, 110. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it's definitely before Psalm 110. It's definitely before Psalm 110. Y'all stand for the reading of the Word. This morning is a landmark message that's so powerful, you may not feel the power today. Look, I remember when I was getting ready to have a colonoscopy, they told me, you used to make you drink that big old gallon of stuff. Well, he said, when I had to get my second colonoscopy, he says, take these six little pills and drink this little bitty bottle. I said, okay. And I looked at him and laughed. I took the six pills and a little bitty bottle, and I sat there and thought about it and thought about it. A couple hours later, I'm still thinking about it. I said, that man played a joke on me. About an hour later, the joke was definitely on me. See, he did. I didn't realize when I took it what it was going to do, okay? He did, I didn't. Well, this is going to be the same way. You may take it today and go, well, this may not be so hot, but I'm going to tell you what, in the days to come, this is going to hit you like those six little pills hit me. I'm telling you, this is something. As a matter of fact, it's so powerful, and I'm not just throwing this out there, so powerful. The more I read it, the more powerful it got, the more powerful it got. Last night I was going to shoot the whole wad at you at one time, and I said, no, can't do that. We're going to do one thing today, and next week we'll go ahead and go to the other parts of it. Maybe all of it. If not, we'll go another week. But it has to be slow, deliberate, and easy, because this, if you're not camping there, you know somebody who's camping here. And it's so important, because if you want deliverance, this is the delivering sermon. Okay, ready? Get your Bibles out. Psalm 109. I'm just going to read the first five verses to start with. Hold not thou peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer, and they that have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you have a way of doing things that we can't even comprehend. And then when we're trying to fix things in our own life, if we'll do it according to your word and according to your priorities, things will fall into place. Help us today to put things in priority. Help us, God, to put them in your priority, not ours. And we thank you for it, because today is a very powerful day if we will stop, look, and listen. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen, and amen. You can be seated. You know, there was a story about three construction workers. The three construction workers, they were sitting on a skyscraper, and they were on this building up in the skyscraper, and they took a lunch break. So the first guy opened up his lunchbox and said, oh, man, tuna again. My wife always fixes me tuna fish sandwiches. I'm sick of it. It's been like this for years. If my wife fixes me another tuna fish sandwich one more time, I'm going to jump off this building. The second guy opened his lunchbox and said, oh, peanut butter and jelly. I hate peanut butter and jelly. If my wife fixes me the same thing tomorrow, I'm going to jump too. The third man opened his lunchbox and said, oh, man, bologna again. I'm with you guys. If I get bologna tomorrow, a bologna sandwich in my lunchbox again, I'm going to jump. The next day at lunchtime, the first guy got his tuna sandwich. And when he got a tuna sandwich, the second guy got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and the third guy got a bologna sandwich. So they all jumped off the skyscraper. Whoop, whoop, whoop. All the three dead construction workers' wives see the bloody scene. The wife at the first guy said, I would not have fixed him something like that. I would have fixed him a different sandwich if he'd just told me what he wanted. The second wife says, well, if he just told me what he wanted, he was tired of peanut butter and jelly, I would have fixed him something different. The third wife says, I don't understand. He makes his own lunch. That's what we're talking about today. Amen? How many's ever looked back? Let's just go and get in here. From victim to victory. There's people sitting in here right now. I'm not trying to be prophetic. I'm not even trying to be pathetic. I'm just telling you. I know. Not because I know you, but because I know life. And you may not have ever told me, and I might not know as you. But there's some people sitting in here right now with a not just a victim, but a victim mentality. And that victim mentality is really tearing you apart. Let's just talk a little bit, can we? If some of y'all right now, some people you know, and I could have put this on myself many times. Matter of fact, everybody in here at one time or another could put this on their lapel. Hello, my name is Victim. Have you ever heard somebody say, why is everything always happen to me? I'm not talking about Charlie Brown. Why is everybody always picking on me? I'm talking about, listen, there's people that always say, I hear it all the time. Why does everything seem to happen to me? I sit back there and I remember saying that one time because I had somebody in my family that said it all the time. And because they said it, I started saying it. And then I realized something. I'm right there with the other person. Another person's experiencing the same thing I'm seeing and experiencing the same thing I'm experiencing, but they don't say that. They lived a victorious life and I lived a crummy life. It's all in how you see it. It's all in how you say it. Husbands, go home today and look at your wife in the face and say, dear, your beauty, when I see your beauty, time stands still. Try it. Not at this moment. You can try it later, or you can try it now if you want to, because I'm going to give you a second one. So on how you say it and how you look at it, you can also look there and say, honey, you got looks that would stop an eight-day clock. The same thing, just different. So watch. Here we go. The victim mentality, I've noticed, is very much on the rise because of all the stuff that's going on. Victim mentality usually has its roots in some kind of trauma. The trauma can be spiritual, it can be emotional, it can be mental, it can be physical, but although it can be just one of those, it will affect all four areas. Did you hear what I'm saying? It could just be your trauma, either spiritual, emotional, mental, or physical, but because you've got the victim mentality, it affects you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. It affects all the areas. And so, when God sees this, God's trying to tell us that, you know, don't let this happen to you, because here's what happens. And it sweeps you off balance. Not only does it sweep you off balance, it keeps you off balance. And this is where Satan wants you. He keeps you bound with invisible chains. You know, how many's ever seen the dog fences buried under the ground? And see that dog come running? Down in my mother-in-law's neighborhood, there's a Rottweiler mixed with a pit bull, I think. He's a bad dude. He's about 400 pounds. Looks like a gorilla mixed with a bull coming at me. I'll drive by him and he'll see my car and he'll go, roar! And he gets running to me. And the first time I saw him, I had my window down and my arm out. I about curled my arm up in the window trying to get it in there. I said, that guy's going to kill me. And right when he got, just before he got to the road, he went, then I realized there was an underground fence. And he had been hit, and he backed up. Some of us have an underground fence. Nobody else can see it but you. You can't even see it. You just feel it. There's an underground fence in your life, and every time you try to step forward, Satan goes, and you feel that pain, and you feel that rush from that trauma. And it flows through you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. And as it flows through you, you stop dead in your tracks. You can't go forward because every time you try to go forward, he zaps you. He don't care if you go back, but even going back, you still feel the zap, the pain of that trauma. So Satan keeps you off balance this way in your life, and it's a terrible way to live. You know, that's why terrorism is so successful. You know, look at this. Look, some people go through life asking, let's back this up. Back up there, buddy. Back up. Back up. There you go. Some people go through life asking, why does this always happen to me? And wonder why all these bad things keep happening to me. Do you see what's going on? He is upset with that lion that's attacking him. Don't look at that. He is upset with that lion who is attacking him. Wow. Think about it. How many times are we eating at ourselves and don't even realize it? We're tearing ourselves apart. We're living in a world where we feel like everybody's against us, not realizing it's not everybody else. The trauma in our life has concocted a victim mentality. Instead of running from it, we run to it. And when we run to it, this is what happens. We're looking at the victim and we're looking at the attacker, the aggressive attacker, and the aggressive attacker is us. Wow, that's an ouch amen moment right there. So look, here's what happens. That's why terrorism is so rampant and so successful. It makes us more than victims. It causes us to develop this victim mentality. Our lives change for the worst. How many, when you're in a grocery store and somebody comes running in, hollering, do you just sit there and go, you used to, I wasn't paying attention to it. Now when somebody comes in running, I stop and look. I was at a funeral one day. At a graveside. At the graveside, I was told, watch out. We've heard there's going to be some rough activity, possibly today. And so while I'm there, this person, as I'm getting ready to start the funeral, goes, and runs. I'm stepping up to the coffin, and the person hollers, wait, wait, and has a box and runs. Runs to the coffin. If it had been 10 years ago, I would have thought nothing about it. But it's not. What they had was they had a trinket they wanted to put in the coffin. But we didn't know that. All we knew was they were hollering, waiting, they had a box. You know, I go in the funeral home now. There's been times where I go in the funeral home, and here's what they told me. When I get to the funeral home, they go, I want you to keep your eye open because this side is upset with that side by the way this person died. And so this side may attack that side, or that side may attack this side. So we need you to stay up here, watch what's going on, and try to keep balance. Oh, right. I didn't have a badge. I didn't have a whistle. I didn't have a striped shirt. But I did have the Holy Ghost. But in this last day, all this stuff, people are so full of tension. You know, this guy from Maryland, just a couple of days ago, gets aggravated with a woman driving down in Virginia. And so he hops out of his car with a pistol and opens up fire and shoots the people. Oh, talk about road rage. Road rage has gone from 200 events to over 600 events in just a matter of a year or so. So we look at all this stuff, all this, but terrorism has got everybody kind of thinking. You know, I was at Pitt Detention Center one night, and one of the guys was trying to be funny, and I was in F block, and I don't know how he done it. I don't know if he did it with his feet. I can't remember what he did now, but somehow or another he made this big old metal pow. And when it hit, I try not to show any emotion when I'm in there when they're doing this stuff, or if I do, I just try to be really bad. But this time, he got me off guard because I wasn't expecting to hear that sound. And so here's this big old sound and a jump. And then they all laugh, and I turn around. Of course, then I said, I don't know what you think you're doing, but you weren't successful. But inside, I was going, what in the world was that? Because of the day we live in, terrorism. You see, now, in the beginning of this psalm, David has become a victim. You know, David was hunted down by his own son. He was hunted down by the king. He was just hunted down. This guy here who was anointed and appointed, who was an awesome dude, who could not be outdone when it came to being a soldier, He was on the run so many times. Many of his psalms he wrote while he was on the run all those many years. I'm not talking about he was on the run for a month. He was on the run for years. And then you think it's over, then his son kicks in. And so it's bam, 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 bam. And so here he is, he's being terrorized. And because he's being terrorized, David was developing a victim mentality. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm going to show you. You see, that's what's so cool about the Bible. You can take the Bible, and you can take especially the Psalms, and you can take it apart and see what David's feeling at the time. When you see what David's feeling at the time, you can sit there and put side by side what's going on with what's happening with certain clinical problems and see that David was experiencing these things at the time. And at this time, he was experiencing a victim mentality. Although he was on the run, and although we say he was powerful and he was mighty, he still had to fight the victim mentality. You may be here today and you're big and bad and nothing affects you that everybody else sees. But if the truth be known, you've got that little electric fence underground around you. And every time you get close to it, it shocks you. And now you have become a victim. And if you're not careful, you will develop a victim mentality. So let's just go. I don't have many slides today. I told them I only had five. Actually, I have six, but that's okay. I was close. So let's watch this. I want y'all to see this. Look, how many of you ever felt like that? Lord, I'm sinking. I'm so sunk. All I got is my hand up. That's it. And my hand's getting ready to go under. Lord, I need help. God, these guys are all around me. They're trying to kill me. They're doing everything they can to push me down. They're trying to hurt me. It seems like everywhere I turn, it seems like I can't get a break because this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. I need you to help me, God. Now, let me just talk about that victim mentality. Watch this. I hope this is going to really be good for you today. Three things the victim mentality creates, and I'm only going to do the first one today. I'll do the next two next week because this first one, I believe with all my heart. I was last night. The Lord spoke to me and said, "Don't give them. Don't feed them the whole truckload at one time. They need to stop and chew on something." And so I was going along, and the Lord spoke to me again. I had more stuff, and He said, "No, just let them chew on number one. Just number one." I said, "Okay, Lord." So here it is. Listen carefully. The very first thing is David feels the peace of God has been withheld. Matter of fact, the first target of victim mentality, watch this. The first target of victim mentality is your peace. Very first thing. If he can take your peace, then he's got you. That's why things, you know, things get on your nerves. You're doing fine as long as everything's going great. You know, even when things are coming at you, as long as you got that peace, you can still hang on pretty good. And you look at somebody and go, well, how are you being so strong? Well, I got the peace of God. But after you've run to that invisible fence so many times and been hit, all of a sudden, listen, what's Satan trying to do? He's trying to take away your peace. Here's what he says. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. Hold not thy peace. In other words, what's he saying? I don't feel any peace. Everybody in here from time to time is not going to feel peace. If you feel peace every day, every time, every hour, then you're living in some kind of alternate universe. Everybody will experience from time to time the zap of peace being taken. You know, they always had this made for TV stuff, or whatever they call it, say a scene on TV. I got tired of going to my back door at night, and when the light pops on, all of a sudden there's like 1,000 mosquitoes and bugs, and you walk in and you look like you got a new hairdo, and it's just the bugs on your head. So I saw this little thing, the bug zapper, light bug zapper. And of course, everybody's saying, why don't you put a bug zapper out there? I said, nah, this looks kind of cool because I'm an engineer. I like cool stuff. So I'm going to get this thing. So I stuck this bug zapper light up there, and it comes on when I step up. And so used to, I could pull up. As soon as I pull up into the yard, the light pops on. And by the time I get out, there's so many bugs, you can't do anything. You got to kind of fight through them. Well, now, when I go in, there's no bugs. None. This is not an advertisement. I'm not the president of the company. I'm just a user. Amen. But it really works. Okay? And so I thought about that thing. So many times we're trying to get to our safe place. And when we're trying to get to our safe place, as we're trying to open the door, we're being infested by things. Just hitting us left and right. Little aggravating things. One bug you can handle. 100 bugs, no. 1,000 bugs, definitely not. You feel like you're being toted off. So that's how David was feeling. He had no safe place. He's on the run. He's having problems. He said, "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise." In other words, I've been praising you. Watch this. I've been praising you, God. Where is the peace? Oh, y'all didn't hear that. I've been praising you, God. Where is the peace? The pastor said Sunday, just praise God and there'll be peace. I praised you all week and all I've got was a peace, P-I-E-C-E, a piece of whatever hitting me on the head, a piece of metal, a piece of wood, whatever. It's constantly something hitting me and God, I don't have any peace. I'm tired of praising because it's not there. Hold on. The first target of victim mentality is your peace. He can rob that. He's got you. He's already, matter of fact, if he's got your peace, go ahead and look outside. If you can't see it physically, you'll see it mentally. He's outside of you right now with a little trencher, and he's trenching the place to put the fence so he can take you down. Wow. He wants your peace. Now, let me just tell you something here. I'm not going to go deep into it, but I'm going to go kind of deep right in this part here. I'll finish it up next week. Just want to leave you with some thoughts. You say, look there, God's our help. God, I need your help. God, you're going to have to reach down. If you don't reach down, it ain't going to happen. If you don't reach down, it's not going to go on. God, I've been praising you. Where you at? How many's ever said that? I dotted all my I's. I crossed all my T's. Where are you at? When DC first went into a pool the first time, They used to swim it in maybe a beach, but the pool the first time. I remember him holding on to the sides, going around. So look at me, Daddy. I've gone all the way around the pool. Yeah, holding the sides. I said, "Son, let go." He said, "Right." I said, "No, son, you got to let go." He said, "But look how good I've gone into the deep end." I said, "Well, kind of. You're holding on to the sides." He said, "Daddy, maybe if you would just," I think he said, "throw me in." I said, "Okay, I'll be there to catch you if you can't handle it." He said, "Okay, Dad." I can't remember all of the things. DC, you might remember, but I took him and threw him right in the middle of the pool. And he didn't go, he went, "Check this out, Dad. I'm doing good." So I tried it with Daniel, and Daniel went, So Daniel still held the sides of the pool for a couple of years. Was I being mean to DC when I threw him in that pool? We'd already discussed it. We knew what was going down. I didn't just take him out here and say, "I got it, son. Watch this." I told him, "Son, you got to let go of the sides." He said, "But I can't let go of the sides. You're going to just have to give me a push." "Okay, son, here's your push." Yeah, DC's remembering it now. Look at him. He's going, "Yeah, I remember that." I was there watching him. If he wouldn't have drowned, I would have taken care of him. Once he got out, I couldn't keep him. Then there was this time I couldn't get any one of them to ride roller coasters. And then we adopted Bethany. We went to, and Bethany was only like that tall, 5 years old. And there was a roller coaster at Tweetsie Railroad, Grandfather Mountain. Bethany said, "Daddy, I want to ride that roller coaster." I said, "You think you can handle it?" She says, "With you, I can." And so we get up there, and bless her heart, she had to do this. Yeah, she did. Look, she's doing it. She had to do like this to get her head at the mark. She gets in. DC and Daniel wouldn't ride it. They watched their sister go. Bethany put her head up against me. I thought she was crying. No, she wasn't crying. She was going, "Wee, Daddy, wee, Daddy, let's do it again, let's do it again." The next time we got on there, DC and Daniel were behind us. Once they started riding, they never stopped riding. DC and Daniel rode roller coasters. They're addicted to roller coasters once they got on. Now, sometimes we're asking God, where's the peace? We've done it all, and we don't see the peace. And God's saying, it's because the deep is calling the deep. And you want to stay on the side of the pool and hold the sides. David was training for reigning. David was training to be king. David didn't know how this felt in order for him to be all the king that he could be. And so God could have stopped it. God could have stopped Saul. God could have stopped Absalom, but God didn't. Because God wanted David to feel this so David would be better equipped to be king. Some of y'all right now, you're thinking God has left you. No, he hadn't. He's saying, let go of the side of the pool. Get out into the deep. I know it's scary. I know it hurts. But get out into the deep and watch what you can do with my help. So God is our help. So watch this. Here it is. When your peace is under attack, and I guarantee you there's somebody in here today, their peace is under attack. When your peace is under attack, remember this. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I like the New Living Translation that says, I'm leaving you with a gift. See, these guys, they're not understanding because Jesus is still with them. They're thinking Jesus is going to set up an earthly kingdom. They're thinking Jesus is going to set everything up, make it straight, and they're all going to be ruling with Jesus, and the Romans are going to bow down at his feet. They're thinking all this stuff's going to happen. They got a preconceived idea of how life is going to be. None of us have a preconceived idea of what life should be, do we? They had a preconceived idea, and now Jesus is trying to tell them, fellas, I'm getting ready to die. Things are going to get rough around here. As a woman in travail, you're going to hurt, but it's going to be okay. And now he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also me. Look, he's trying to tell them, fellas, it's going to get rough. What your preconceived ideas of life is not how it's going to be. If some of us could get that out of our head right now, with all of our preconceived ideas of how life's going to be, and let God steer our vessel, we might start digging up that fence around us. So here he is. Peace. I love it. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. A gift. I ain't got to work for it. How many in here has ever had to work for your Christmas gifts from your parents? Oh, they would tell you, I'm going to tell Santa if you keep on. Or I'm not going to let you have that present if you keep on. They are. That's just that little toying thing they do, like the mouse and the cheese. Trying to get you to be good. They're going to give it to you. Because it's a gift. A gift. A gift. God's peace is a gift. You ain't got to work for it. That's another reason why we don't feel it. Because we think we've had to earn it. Earn it. You know, I remember watching Saving Private Ryan. And I was thinking at the end, I was thinking that, you know, I didn't know who was going to, because at the beginning it shows you Private Ryan as an old man looking at the tombstone, and then at the end it winds up being showing Tom Hanks. So you're thinking that Tom Hanks is going to be making all the way through the movie. So at the end, Tom Hanks is dying. He gets shot in the chest. He's dying. And looks at Private Ryan and he says, "Earn this." It tears the liberals up. Earn this. I've seen it where it says, why do you think that he has to earn this? I know what Tom Hanks was saying. Tom Hanks was saying, make the best. He could have just said, make the best of it. Make the best of what you got. Because a lot of people just gave, six guys gave their life for him to be delivered from that place. It wasn't easy for any of them. But again, get the preconceived ideas out of your head about how hunky-dory. You look at your neighbor and say, well, they're having a great time. I remember one time there were some people in our church when I was pastoring in Bath. There were some people in our church They were awesome people. It was a man, a wife, and his son, and their son. They were awesome people. They were having, every time I saw them, they even kind of walked around and went, holy, holy, holy. I mean, that made me feel bad sometimes because I felt so inadequate to be around them because they were so holy. And on election night, the night that Clinton was put in office, the first time, I'm getting my hair cut. And my wife's cutting my hair. She got half my head done, just half. I get a phone call. It's that man's wife. She says, please come down here now. Run. I said, what's wrong? She says, my husband's outside. He says he's going to kill me. I get up with half my head cut. They're right there. Ought to have been, the Lord must have done that so they would at least laugh when they saw me. So I have my head cut. I run down there, and her and her boy are locked inside the mobile home, and he's beating on the door. Let me in, or I'm going to kill you. And I said, Holy Spirit, and I hadn't had much training at that time. I hadn't had, matter of fact, I had very little training at that time in counseling. And I said, Holy Spirit, you got to help me now because I don't know what to do with this guy. Because these are the holy people. These are the ones that I stand in awe of. These are the ones that when they speak, I just feel God's presence and power. And now he's talking about killing his wife because she won't let him in the house. Of course, God intervened that night, but God also showed me, get rid of your preconceived ideas of how other people are and how your life should be. If you can get rid of those preconceived ideas, your peace will come to you a lot faster. A lot faster. So watch. Watch this. So now, matter of fact, in the Bible, a lot of times peace, the word peace is eirene, which means to bind together that which has been separated. It also means to stitch together. It means to have surgery. And so a lot of times your peace, whether you know it or not, is in the problem, because in the problem you're tore apart. And in the problem, God puts you back together. He mends you back together. That's the peace, putting you back together. So here we go. Peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Matter of fact, it says, don't let not your heart be troubled. That word trouble means agitated. How many's ever looked in a washing machine when it's cooking? Not cooking, but you know how my meals taste when I cook. That's why they didn't want to eat my stuff after their mom died. Matter of fact, DC and Daniel always find a way to be gone when I cook. Always. Dad, you cook? Yep, I've already got something. That word troubled means agitated. Look in a washing machine, and it's doing like this, and it's doing like this. He says, don't let your emotions, your reasoning be so agitated. Because if you let your emotions and your reasoning be agitated, then God could even be trying to give you peace and you would never feel it. I've gone to somebody before, one of the boys, or gone somewhere, and they're going, but Daddy, I really need it. Daddy, 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 I got to have it. Daddy, 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 if I don't get it, I'm going to die. And I'm sitting with it in my hand. It's right here, son. Quit arguing. It's right there. Just take it. Oh, I didn't see that, Dad. No, because you were too busy complaining. Tell me how you had to have it. You were going to die. It was right there. I'm holding it for you. We're complaining to God and agitating. God's saying, it's right here. Take it. So here we go. One more scripture and we're going to get out of here. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can ever understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That word keep means literally to set up a garrison, to guard a military garrison, walking along. Look, there's your fence. The peace of God will walk along that fence, digging it up, and just keep walking on that fence. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. I got called into Pitt Detention Center. They said, we need you to get in here fast. I said, what is it? We said, we got a guy on suicide watch. I said, okay. So I talked to the guy on suicide watch. First time they ever done it this way. Now they do it all the time, but that's the first time they've done it. They put him in a little room, an interrogation room with me. He was all to pieces. He couldn't even talk. He was just so emotionally distraught. And we got talking. We found out what was going on. After I found out what was going on, I pulled out my Bible. And I said, do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, do you believe God's got what you need? He says, yes. And so I said, now tell me what you're feeling right now. And he started explaining what he was feeling. And while he explained what he was feeling, I started getting out the Bible that addressed every problem he gave me. And the first time I gave him the first one, he kind of went, yeah. By the time the second one, he said, uh-huh. By the time I hit the third one, he went, whoa. By the time I hit the fourth one, the guy was smiling. I've seen the guy now probably 4 or 5 months. He's still in lockup. I go see him 4 or 5 months. Every time I see him now, he's just smiling. And he goes, thank you so much for showing me what God had to say, because I was listening to what I had to say. I was listening to what the world had to say. I was listening to what my buddies around me had to say. He said, but you come here and hear me get a different perspective. Now I'm seeing what God has to say, and I feel so much better. If we can understand what God says about it instead of ourselves, the flesh, Satan, the world, wow, it's amazing how the peace will come back. Amen? So watch this. Here we go. I did a research on this, and I got it down a little different. I got it with the Hebrew. Watch this. For I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of peace. You look in the King James, it just doesn't say, it just says it's a little bit different. It doesn't say the word peace. When you look up the Hebrew, the word peace is in there. Plans for peace and well-being. Meaning, the ability for you to think. The ability for you to do what you need to do. The ability to handle the problems that come your way. Plans of peace and well-being, not for disaster. You see, once we see that disaster, once we get close to that line, and all of a sudden we get zapped, all we can think of is, it's bad. It's bad. This is why we're just, it's bad. And God's saying, if you'll let me touch you, you can climb over that fence. Plans for peace and well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I love this one. We're going to read it together. Look, in a minute we will. Say this out loud with me, though. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Say it. Now look at somebody else and tell them. Okay, watch this. So you're spinning agitated. There's that agitation going. Look, this is so awesome. It is so awesome. It's not God that is taking your peace. Listen to me carefully. It's not God that's taking your peace. It's only when we let the devil distort the truth that we lose peace. Listen to me. It's not God who took your peace. It's only when we let Satan distort the truth that we lose our peace. What did Jesus say? Each time he's on that ship with those disciples, does he get up and say, what does he say to that wind? What does he say to the water? What does he say to the waves? What does he say? Peace. Be still. Whenever Jesus came on the scene, he said, peace. When the angels came, peace. Peace. Be still. You see, God desires you to have peace. That's beyond human understanding. I've been accused on several occasions of not caring of what was going on. And they mistook peace of God for not caring. The Lord has showed me, if I'll do it His way, in His order, in His time. My problem is, I got my own time and my own order. And when I try to do it in my own time, in my own order, it's not lasting. I may get some peace, but it won't be lasting. So here's what I've learned to do. I love this. Look, let's say this together. Here's the names of Jesus. Ready? I'm going to get around and see it. All right, can y'all see it? Here's his names. I am Lord, Jesus, Messiah, Savior, the way, the truth, the life, the word, the rock, Son of God, Redeemer, Living Water, Lamb, Emmanuel, Morning Star, Lamb of God, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, King of Kings, Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, the Star of Bethlehem, Everlasting Light, Light of the World, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. He said, I leave you a gift. So I said, what better way to represent a gift than a Christmas tree up here? Look at all this he's left us. It's free. It's a gift. Why let your hearts be troubled? Why let that fence stay in front of you and you're scared to move? Jesus. You see, BJ, come on up here. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, meaning he's in control. It's his. It's his. And he said, I'm going to give it to you. It's his. And he says, I'm going to give it to you. And the way that he attacks us is the very first thing he does. The very first thing he does. And the very first thing that happens that causes a victim mentality is he attacks our what? Our peace. When you finally get that peace that passes all understanding, people are going to think you've lost your mind. I was talking to my uncle one day who was a severe alcoholic. And my uncle, this is before the Lord told me I needed to love him. He had me so mad. And one day he had me madder and fire because he kept talking about God and talking about me. That day he just said he went by our church at homecoming. I was up dancing on the table, running through the mashed potatoes. He had me mad. And he said, don't you ever worry about anything? I said, I worry about a lot of things. Kids were little. A lot of things had me on my mind. I was in charge of a lot of stuff at work. Just a lot of things on my mind. He says, don't you ever worry about anything? I said, yes, I worry about. I don't worry about things. I'm concerned about things. But I've learned to transfer the burden to Jesus. He says, oh, so Jesus is your crutch. I got mad at that statement and said, well, alcohol is yours. And the Lord took me to the woodshed over that. He said, I am your crutch. Number one. And number two, you'll never win him talking to him like that. And so from that time on, I just poured agape on him. Agape, 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 agape. Years later when he died, he was delivered. He was saved. There was some awesome stuff going on. That man done 180 turn. But it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have showered him with agape and showered him with the peace God had given me. When he died at peace. Wow. Remember, the first thing he attacks and the first part of the victim mentality is your peace is gone. It's robbed. It's stolen. It's taken away. You can't even function because God's peace is being withheld and all you have is that fence around you. Everybody please stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I pray that this morning has been an eye-opener. And I pray that God does something special for each and every one of you. But nobody looking around, every eye closed. Not going to make an example out of you. Not going to pull you up here. I'm just going to ask. How many in here would raise that hand and say, Pastor, that's what he's attacking, my peace, and I need God's hand. Matter of fact, you can even think that's my hand you showed in that water. If you'd say, God, if you'd say, Pastor, Satan's attacking my peace, I need God to help me, would you just put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Satan, you are a liar. You know the truth, and you use it to your advantage because you take just enough truth to suck us in, and then you distort it. In the name of Jesus, right now, we stand against it. We stand against it. We stand against it. Lord, help all of us, Lord, to use your word correctly, rightly divide the word. Understand that you're not the reason that we're losing our peace. Satan is. And that we've got to stand strong, united, and watch that peace come back. And remember, maybe you're in the shallow end and God's trying to move you into the middle of the pool. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Touch them right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, maybe there's somebody here right now that has fallen prey to a victim mentality. I ask you, Lord, within today and the next few weeks, to break those chains. In the name of Jesus, we love you, we praise your name, and we thank you for it. Now, if you need to pray for anything, you need to pray for you, pray for somebody else, you just got a need in your life or know somebody else has a need, the altars are open. You can come and pray. You need to pray for anything, the altars are open. The altars are open. Satan wants to attack our peace. A Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Come on and pray. You need to pray, come and pray. Whatever the need is.
Touch my brother, this mighty man of God. Satan would like to tell him different, but the truth is he's a mighty man of God. That's why he's under attack. Touch him right now. Lift him up and strengthen him in the name of Jesus.
Glory! Glory! Glory!
Touch my brother right now, this mighty man of God. Use him in a powerful way.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Glory. Y'all, let's sing it. If you know the words. In the rolling thunder. Ooh. Here we go. We'll sing that chorus. How great thou art. This is the truth. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Thou art. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Great thou art. How great thou. I want you, here's your assignment for this week. I want you to get the Bible out, and I want you to look up wherever Jesus is talking about peace. Matter of fact, just look wherever the Bible says, especially in the New Testament, about peace. I want you to look it up, and when you see those little promises, actually, they're great promises. They're not little. They're great. I want you to hold on to them. Hold on to them because something special is going to happen. Now, next week, we're going to talk about a few more things. But this week, had to start with peace because I didn't want that to be missed or swept under the rug. Because once we get past peace, then we can talk about the other things. So next week, we're going to talk about the others. It's going to be awesome. And how David got out of the victim mentality. I mean, I know we have rough things. You know, but David can associate with you. Think about this. Saul attacking him. How many has ever been attacked by your boss? His son attacking him. How many has ever been attacked by your family? David knows. David's telling. That psalm reads our page, reads our mail. This psalm reads our mail and puts us where we're at and tells us how to get out of it. So maybe you've been attacked by co-workers. You've been attacked by your boss. You've been attacked by whatever. Maybe you've been attacked by family members. Maybe you've been attacked by somebody you never thought would. David lived it. lived it. His son tried to kill him, and when he found out his son had been killed, did he go, "Wow, I'm glad that's over"? No. When his son was killed, he wept and he cried and he cried and he cried. And he said, "I wish that we could have done this differently." So watch. David's been there. He's going to show us how to get out of it. Amen? Okay. Everybody put your hand this way. We have a birthday girl. She's 95. 95. Don't send presents, just send chocolate. She said she had chocolate for breakfast. All right. It's hurting?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Lord, right, y'all put your hands this way. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch my sister. She is so awesome. She is a precious woman of God. Lord, you use her so mightily. Well, she's been a blessing to me. Ask you right now to touch her, to lift her up, to strengthen her neck. Lord, work a work, Lord, that only you can. Lord, she's 95, looking for 102. Lord, we believe in that. And we're looking forward to you taking care of this neck. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I prayed for her and stepped on her at the same time. It's like the time Brother Billy and Sister Dorothy, first, I thought she had the door and let go of the door and it hit her, knocked her down. I said, "Oh, no." So by the time she got over that, we're over here at the Senior Saints. And they said, "We need some more table, more chairs." So I'm holding these metal chairs up like this. And I walk through the door and I hear a pang on that door. And I thought somebody was playing with me, hit this with a hammer. And I put it down and there was Sister Dorothy going. So I got her again. And then they were together, standing side by side, and I went to hug Sister Dorothy and pop Brother Billy right in the... Brother Billy said, "You're going to hear from my lawyer." Sometimes it doesn't pay to be a big ox. Amen. Amen. Brother Steve, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father God, we just praise you, Lord. We love you. And we just thank you for being there. Whatever comes against us, Lord, we know you're more than able to see us through it. And Lord, forgive us when we kind of get feeling sorry for ourselves, Lord, and ask where you are. We should know that you're strengthening us by letting those trials come our way. Bless each and everyone as we leave today, Lord. God, guard, guide, and direct us. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and amen.